Barton is a global sales and behavioral economics thought leader. He is the managing partner of The Perfect Plan. Don, excited to have you on.
Hey, George, thank you. And hey, listen, I really appreciate what you're doing. I've listened to all of your podcasts and your interviews, and you're helping a lot of people. And one thing I know about your work is very few people probably get to say thank you to you, but they all mean it. So I just want to say thank you to you for all the people out here who never have a chance. So thanks for the work you're doing, man. It's great stuff.
Well, I appreciate it. You are welcome. So tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
I always tell people somewhere between the Jason Bourne movies and Forrest Gump. If you took Jason Bourne and Forrest Gump and you slammed them together, that's my life. But it's a little bit more on the Forrest Gump side. Ironically, you know, right place, right time. Pretty bright, but something still going on. You got to figure it out. But every once in a while, it gets exciting. So I'm a behavioral economist. I'm a professor. I spent about 25 years on Wall Street, working for Wall Street based firms, flew all over the world. I was on international teams. And I got to work with the best and the brightest. And I was smart enough to know that I wasn't that smart. And so I started asking a lot of questions, like, what is it that these people do differently? And we've been able to turn it into some academic work, and I'm really proud of it. It's been around the world a few times. So we really look at why people make the decisions they do and how we can help businesses grow. Because if you're not growing, you're just dead. And there's a lot of businesses out there that don't want to grow. Ironically, that's weird. They just want a job. You know, they just want to kind of work, not work for somebody else, control their destiny. They just want to putter around. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. But if somebody is a real entrepreneur and somebody who really wants to do something and grow, then they're going to look for capabilities and they're going to look for it with courage. And what we do is say, if you've got the courage, here's some studies, here's some work that we've seen, here's some very bold questions that we ask that might be different than what you're used to. And I think we have a chance, like you, to help a lot of people out and help them grow and help them in a kind way get out of their own way.
I love it. How'd you figure out that Jason Bourne meets Forrest Gump?
Just years of looking at it going, you know, my life, that's just me. Yeah, I watch a movie and I'm like, oh, that's me. Oh, I've done that Jason Bourne stuff. And then you see Forrest Gump and go, yeah, I've done that too. So that's the best way I can describe it.
That's also me. I think that's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
So the work you're doing, obviously, touches a lot of different aspects, all different kinds of people. What's sort of on the cutting edge for you right now, or what are you most excited about?
Oh, thank you for asking. I'm really excited about some work that's coming out soon. I've been working on this theory in my head for about 10 years now, and I was able to prove it. And I went to a lot of academia, which I'm not one of those guys. I'm an academic guy who's not academia. I don't like those people. But anyway, they love to write papers and tell you how they predicted it a few years ago, but never can find the prediction, right? So I'm a forward behavior economist. So I look and say, I really want to know why people make decisions they do. I really want to know why consumers buy things. I want to ask questions about trends and things that we see that's unique, because economics is just a reflection of humans. That's it. It's the art reflects life, or life reflects art. Economics reflects us and what our hopes and desires are. So a few years ago, I had this idea, and I've been working on it in a doctoral level with Columbia International University. And we've been focusing on a few ideas that I had, and we were able to prove it, to be frank with you. And my newest theory, which I'm excited about, is called Here Come the Girls. And basically, I've got women taking over all of global leadership between the year 2028 and 2032. And by global leadership, I mean everything from the local deli to parliament. I mean, everything is going to be dominated and run by women. And so the question was, if we see this trend going, how can we prove it? Well, we prove it. It's just math. You know, it literally is just math. It's time. And we can already see it. Like right now, there's more young girls in undergrad school than there are guys. It went from 5% women in medical and dental schools to now 60%. You know, women. So you look at boardrooms, you're seeing things start to shift and change. So we went back and said, you know, the economy doesn't care about political mantra. It just doesn't. The economy doesn't care about diversity, because it's going to go to the place that, you know, is the most efficient and well run. So when you start looking at this, you have to take all the stuff you see in the news out of the equation and you say, what's the truth? Well, truth lies in mathematics and the numbers. So we were able to look back at the population curve combine it with everything from the birth control pill, which gave women freedom in their careers, to education, access to education, change in social construct. And we were absolutely able to prove that the time has come and women are about to take over the vast, vast majority of leadership. But then the obvious question comes up, okay, I'm a guy. I really like being a guy. I've got three adult sons. I love being a boy dad. You know, I'm very pro men and I love women. I'm very pro women. But you got to look at it and say, okay, if this change occurs in economics, is it a positive change or neutral or negative? And we were able to go back and look at it and say, not only is it positive, it's exponential. That I believe that when this occurs, we're going to see such a boost in our economic reality that we're going to see a minimum 3x growth in the economy worldwide, because women really are better leaders. Women really are better at connecting with the consumer. And when you look at the entire model, it's just the time has come. And now we know what women do differently. We know why women are great leaders. We've done 700 and something hours of interviews of female leaders around the world. And it's amazing how consistent they are. And they're not talking to each other. They don't sit around and have a playbook that they're passing around. They just do it. And it's something that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So in the next few years, we're going to see a big shift in the economy. We're going to see a big shift in social construct. And it's going to be a beautiful thing, man. It is going to be great. But the best thing about it, I'm happy to explore wherever you want to go with the conversation. But the best thing about it is the secret to what women do to be better leaders is not a girl thing. It's just something girls do, which means guys can be trained. So not only is there going to be an exponential positive hit in the economy coming up, but the consumer, the workplace employee, families, everybody's going to be better off. But it's not Amazonian. Once men figure this out and they start doing it, we're going to see another kicker go. So I think we're on the verge of a monstrous shift that might be equal to the Industrial Revolution, but have a 10x type response to it. So that's what I'm excited about now. Here come the girls.
It's a good reason to be excited. So let's just dig into what those things are that they do differently that is learnable, transferable.
Yeah, sure. Well, I tell you, it's real simple. And every guy out there knows that girls are better, smarter, and faster, right? We get that. Girls can think critically. Every dude on the planet will know it. Might not admit it in public, but they know it, okay? So we look at this and say, okay, how does a guy approach a problem, like in business or in leadership? Most guys, when an employee comes up and says, hey, we got this problem, it could be supply chain, it could be sales, it could be anything. Most of the guys in leadership will just say, okay, let's fix it. They roll up their sleeves and they jump in and they fix it. And in most cases, it's very dictatorial and they show the person, you know, how to do it their way. In other words, the male leader's way. They just fix things. Guys fix stuff. That's what we do. We're real good at it. But we're seeing this new economy come out and we got to ask ourselves, wait a minute. How come men have been the dominant gender? How come in business and leadership and any type of patriarchal system, why have men dominated? It's an easy answer. It's called red muscle mass. You know, I'm better at cutting down a tree than most women are. I'm better at fighting a saber-toothed tiger than women are. I'm not very good at it, but all the girls got to do is run faster than me, right? I'll always slow the thing down. I'm going to die, but it's going to, you know, I'll do it. But red muscle mass, genetic development, causes us to dig oil wells and build bridges and do things better, faster, and more efficiently. Problem is that that's not needed anymore, not to the way that it was. And I'm all for the skill trades. I mean, skill trades are going to be the next big boom, but we look at it and go, okay, well, we have automation, we have tools, we have things right now that can help us out. We don't need that red muscle mass. So now all of a sudden everything's neutral. So the girls have a chance to rise up. And if you look at the math behind it, you go, okay, that's really cool. Guys know how to fix things. We know how to build things. We know how to use our muscles. But how does a woman approach the same problem? And this is what we learn. Whereas a guy just jumps in and says, okay, let's fix it. Okay. A woman has three steps that she does to fix it. The first thing a female leader does is she always shows sympathy to the problem. In other words, she acknowledges, yeah, that's a real problem. Like if a teammate comes up or an employee comes up and says, hey, we've got these cargo ships stuck in the ports of LA and we can't get them off because there's some issue with customs and there's a threat of a union strike and there's all this mess. What a female leader will do is acknowledge the problem and be sympathetic about the problem, not the person, but she'll acknowledge the problem first, which gives credibility to the person that, hey, dude, yeah, I get it. That's a real problem. Then the second thing she does before she fixes it is she shows empathy to the person. She'll look at that person and say, hey, how does this affect you? How does it make you feel? How are you embracing, and what's your relationship with this? I'm so, so sorry, because that's not your fault. That's not your problem. So she shows sympathy to the problem. Then she shows empathy to the person. Then this is where the magic happens. Then what she does is she leans in. And we heard women describe it two different ways. Some of them call it meeting in the grave. Others call it meeting them halfway. But what they do is they lean into the person who brought them the problem. And then they ask the most beautiful question. They say, what would you do? If you had a magic wand, what would you do to fix this? And what happens is the person on her team is now empowered. And they can sit there and say, oh, well, here's what I would do. Boom, 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 pull this lever, do this, do that. And then most female leaders will look at it, if they're correct, if the person's idea was good, and say, okay, go do that. In other words, I don't have to tell you what to do. I can give you permission to go do it. You have the commitment. You have the courage. You have the capabilities to go out there and do it. Go be you. And what she's doing by showing sympathy to the problem, empathy to the person, and then meeting them in the middle so the person can answer it, she's creating such a level of empowerment that the next time that there is a problem, that team member doesn't come to her, doesn't bog her down. They know they have permission to fix it and to do what they feel is right. Whereas a typical male leader comes in and goes, okay, let me show you how to fix it, does not show sympathy to the problem, does not show empathy to the person, just jumps to fix it. And in doing so, historically, as guys, we've never been able to give that person potential to be the best they can be. It's there, but if you keep it locked up by saying, you come to me and I'll show you how to fix it, they never get to explore that. So what happens in a female business is she's able to take her unique ability now and go back and figure out, well, while they're fixing my problems, because I got a great team who can handle this, I can think about global sales. I can think about the next product initiative. I can think about creative things. So it makes their team be enormously efficient and grow at exponential rates. But here's the cool thing, George, and I'll shut up because this is my favorite thing. So we went and we asked the two biggest consumer groups out there, three technically, I guess. We went to all their employees and said, male and female, and said, what is it that makes this place special to work? Why do you choose to work here? So we asked all their employees this. We asked the same question of consumers, male and female. And we said, look, like I'm an iPhone guy, right? Why is it that you buy iPhone over Android? You know, what is it about this? Why do you buy Coca-Cola over Pepsi, Budweiser over Modelo? What is it? What makes you decide to consume this product? They gave us three answers. Okay. Guess what? Same three answers as employees give on why they work there. And then we're like, oh, what the heck? We're studying women. We went to women as a whole and said, forget about buying stuff. Forget about working where you work. What do you want as a woman? And they gave us three things. Creepy, the exact same three things, okay? So consumers, male and female, employees, male and female, and women as a whole, when we ask them what they want, and I always tell people, you never have to explain or apologize for what you want. You just want it, right? Tell me what you want. The three things that every single person in that group said is the first thing I want from an employer, from a product, or the first thing I want as a woman is to be seen. I just want to know that you see me. Then the second thing I want is to know that you hear me. As a consumer, I want to know that my opinion means something. So I want you to see me and I want you to hear me. But most importantly, I want you to understand me. And we were like, wow, that's amazingly consistent, right? You want to be seen, heard, and understood. Every consumer says, I want to be seen by this company. I want to be heard by the company. And I want them to understand what my needs are. Every employee, which is kind of interesting for people in the United States, the average American worker right now is 38 years old and changes jobs once every 3 years. So when they change jobs, what are you looking for? I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to be understood. When we ask women, what do you want as a woman? Just, I don't know. I'm not genetically a woman. What do you want as a woman? They're going to say, I want to be seen. I want to be heard. And I want to be understood. And we're like, holy cow. What does that mean to be seen, heard, and understood? And I can tell you, the answer is beautiful. It means that they're valued. Hmm. So if a consumer feels seen, heard, and understood, they feel valued. If an employee feels seen, heard, and understood, they feel valued. A woman wants to be valued because she is seen, heard, and understood, not talked down to. She wants her shot. So think about this, George. They want to be seen, heard, and understood so they can be valued. Now go back to what we said about female leaders. What do? They show sympathy to the problem. I see the problem. They show empathy to the person. I hear you. And then they say, what would you do? They meet them in the middle. I understand you. Therefore, I value you. And you have permission to go out and be the best person you can be here. Now, there are going to be ups and downs. There's going to be screw ups. There's going to be things where my wisdom has to step in because of 40 years of experience, right? Nothing wrong with that. But I trust you. I see you. I hear you. I understand you. Therefore, I value you. Think about a corporate team or think about in a consumer base or think about 51% of our population. If they say that I miraculously feel seen, heard, and understood, therefore I feel valued. And I can consume this product over here run by a woman because she sees me, hears me, understands me. Therefore, she values me. I can go work for this woman and work for this culture because I feel seen, heard, understood, and valued. Or me as a woman, the biggest consumer group in the history of mankind, says, wait a minute. I just want to be seen, heard, and understood so I know that you value me. Not rocket science, right? Yet these females in leadership have been doing this the whole time, and it's right in front of us. So we look at this, and then you support it with the mathematics that this wave of women with entrepreneurial and corporate type experience, their time has come. Because you can look at leadership, and you can find these statistical outliers, these unicorns that pop up, or these people that come up with a killer once in a lifetime product, and it's great, not knocking them, but that's not real world. Take them out and just look at the core of what makes the earth spin, you know, on its axis. What is it that makes our economy go? And you're going to see it's the mom pops and the corporate structures and the things like that. And if you can say, wait a minute, the consumer, the buyer of your product, your employees, and 51% of the population all want the same thing. And here comes this wave of women into leadership, which will begin to peak and flip over the 50% mark in 2028. And by 2032, it'll be the vast, vast majority. They are delivering on that. Dude, that is an economic nirvana. That is when you look at it and you go, holy crap, the world is about to change. And then once we get guys figuring it out that you still need to be a dude, you know, there's nothing. You can't hide the red muscle mass. You can't hide the genetic wiring of your brain. But man, what if you took a breath as a guy and said, in my leadership style, I want to make sure that the people I'm leading are seen, that they're heard and they're understood. I want to take a breath and be sympathetic to their problems, be empathetic to them as an individual. I want to meet them in the middle because selfishly that frees up my time so I can go do my own unique ability. My God, when we get both boys and girls doing this, George, it's going to be a thing. So I think from economics, I can tell you that there's going to be a massive, massive increase in economic output and consumption, which is nirvana. That's what we want as economists, around 2028. So the question is, this is what I tell all these large employers and clients, if anybody ever wants to reach out, the question is, do you believe in luck? And do you just want to hope that luckily when 2028 happens, you're in the right place at the right time, you can take advantage of it? What I tell people all the time is I absolutely believe in luck, but luck favors the prepared. So what are you doing to be prepared? What are you doing to say that in 2028, I've got a 3.5 year run now, man, I am going to be so ready that when this economy takes off, my production skills are going to be ready. My team's going to be ready. Our culture is going to be ready. Everything that we've got is in place. Now, does that mean you need to go out there and only hire women? No, you need to hire the right people. But the mathematics are going to take care of themselves. You know, women are going to be the right people. They already are the right people. They can help boost the economy and the world into another level. And then for the first time, the anomaly is going to flip over and women are going to be dragging men and saying, hey, guys, come on, wake up. Let's be sympathetic. Let's be empathetic. Let's help our employees and meet them in the middle. Let's do some things that are purposeful that says that we're going to see them. We're going to hear them. We're going to understand them. Therefore, we value them. And then we're going to sit back and smile because the world's about to get really, really good. And I'm excited about that. I mean, it's just something that we've been working on for 10 years. We put the past 3 years of our lives into this. The doctoral paper will publish sometime this month. And by the end of the month, hopefully at least 1st of June at the latest, the commercial book, Here Come the Girls, will be out. And we got some high hopes that it's going to affect and help a lot of people. But most importantly, people will be prepared and they won't be blindsided. Because, and I'll shut up and tell you this, but when I teach economics, I always tell people to go back and study Darwin. And they look at me and go, what are you talking about? That's biology. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I believe the greatest economist of all time was Charles Darwin. If you take his biological theories of evolution and natural selection and you apply it to the economy, works like a charm. Does it work in biology? Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. Okay, he was good. He was a smart guy. But I think we missed the boat. I think we need to apply him to economics. And if you do, oh my God, what is happening? Natural selection, you know, the rise of women in leadership, the mathematical function that proves that the evolution has been taken care of over time, the convenience and convergence of a service-based economy, the lack of need for as much red muscle mass as we've had in the past, and the need for advanced critical thinking, which women are just better at. So when all this stuff hits at the same time and the math can support it, what are you doing to be prepared? And I think that's the big question over the next few years is, do you want your business in the long run to grow at exponential rates, or at least have a valve that you can turn up and down at will? If you do, then it's time to get prepared and be ready, because the economy is about to show you so much favor that it's beyond what we've been able to comprehend and actually measure in the past. I think this is going to be the next industrial revolution.
That is a compelling case, Don. I love it. I'm excited to dig into the research. And speaking of, where can people learn more about you? How can they get involved?
Well, they go to the website, donbarden.com, and I'm happy to have D-O-N-B-A-R-D-E-N. What I tell people, though, is the book that kind of put us on the map is called The Perfect Plan. And we did this study about 20 years ago. It was another doctoral study where we wanted to know what the elite people in the world did differently in sales, marketing, their business, how they approach things. In the same way, we use scientific methodology. We studied it. We got it. So we can say in there, hey, here's what these people do. Here's what the best salespeople do. Here's how all these things do. In most cases, it's something you've never heard before, but it structures the obvious. If any of these listeners that are out there today, send me a note on LinkedIn and say, hey, I heard you're enjoying the show. Love to get a copy of the book. I'll send them a free e-copy of the book. And then once Here Come the Girls come out, we'll give them a free e-copy of that because they're listeners to your show. And again, buddy, I think you're doing everything right. So keep being you. And I want to support you and I want to support your listeners. So anybody hits me up on LinkedIn, I'll send them a free copy of the first book, which I think they love. And as soon as Here Come the Girls come out, I'll send them a free copy of that.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Don your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to donbarden.com, donbarden.com, and check out everything that Don's been working on. Get your copy of The Perfect Plan by shooting Don a message on LinkedIn. And as soon as Here Come the Girls is live and in the world, I'm sure we'll have Don back on to dig a little bit deeper into all of that, but you can get your free digital copy of that as well. Thanks again, Don.
Hey, thanks for what you're doing, man. Keep it up.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.